This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
And a happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. And of course, since it is Father's Day, WTMJ's Eric Bilston tells the story of how a family small golf outing, intended to honor their own father, turned into a major fundraiser where now Hall of Famers and Olympians attend. It all started with one man, George Leaf.
George and Ruth Leaf were the proud parents of six children. George, Karen, Kathy, Jim, David, and Ann.
It's tough raising six kids. I have no idea how they did it. That's a lot of work.
What I admire so much about my dad was just what a kind and gentle man he was.
Jim and David Leaf are third-generation owners of ITU AbsorbTech in New Berlin. Father George ran the company before them.
He overcame having no formal schooling.
Surround himself with good people to fill in what he perceived as the gaps around his education.
He put together a terrific life in spite of the fact that he was a type 1 diabetic virtually his whole life.
George lived with type 1 diabetes, which is different than type 2. Type 1 is an autoimmune disease. Your pancreas doesn't create any insulin, so you have no way to control your blood sugar. A blood sugar too high can be catastrophic to your body.
Every morning and every night, Mom would go to the refrigerator and get out a little steel box that had the syringes in it, and she'd give him a shot.
Most of the time, since we just grew up with it, it was there. They didn't really try to hide it, but they weren't really, you know, out about it. There was no drama that went with it.
Whether they did it consciously or not, I think Mom and Dad kind of protected us from the true ugly nature of the disease.
George was diagnosed as a boy in 1929. He lived at a time when there was very little done to treat the disease, other than to watch your diet and to exercise.
He was able to do that with very crude technology.
So George would live with type 1 diabetes while also donating money for research to diabetes, while also raising a family and also running a business.
He taught stealth lessons. You didn't know you were being taught, but you were.
Stealth lessons. Perhaps that's what happened next. You see, George loved sports as well. And he especially enjoyed the links.
He loved to play golf. He wasn't particularly good at it, but he enjoyed the experience.
In 2006, a year before he died, the Leafs had a plan. Let's put together a small golf outing in honor of Dad. Maybe raise a few bucks. And just like Dad's done in the past, we can donate it to diabetes research.
It was a friends and family and business event. And we did it late in the year. And I remember we went talking to people saying, before you put your golf clubs away for the winter, how about come and play one more event? And we'll do it. It's a tribute to my dad, but we'll also raise a few bucks. And when I say a few, it was really very modest.
So it all worked out. They raised a little cash, and they honored Dad. But then something happened. The Leafs met a bulldog.
I was on the phone with a staffer from the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. And at the end of it, almost in an offhanded way, she says, oh, by the way, Jim, do you know Ken Sanders, the relief pitcher from the Brewers? And I said, well, I know who he is. I know he plays a lot of golf at Tuckaway. And she just said, you ought to call him.
Brewers reliever Ken Bulldog Sanders. He pitched for the Crew in the early 70s, and he had a grandson living with type 1 diabetes. So when he heard about this golf event, he jumped at the chance to get involved.
Getting together with Ken gave him a chance to raise money for diabetes. That really transformed Tee Up for the Cure from being a cute little friends and family event to what it's become today.
See, Bulldog called his friends. Former pro athletes.
But we're not talking about like any athletes. We're talking about Robin Yount. We're talking about MVPs, gold medalists.
I didn't see it coming. I think we were very fortunate when we got Robin Yount agreed to do the first one. It was like, oh my gosh, Ken can pull this stuff off. And we had a glimmer of what it could do. But didn't really expect it to continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Now this event to honor George Leaf has turned into an annual outing with scores and scores of foursomes, scores and scores of celebrity athletes, and since its inception, it's raised more than $1 million for diabetes research.
All right, so what do you think your dad would say if he saw what the enormity of the event has become?
That's a great question. I can't say I've ever thought about that. He was an incredibly humble, very gentle person. I think it'd be a big aw shucks moment that we have his name all over it.
Being able to track this down and being able to help people have a full, very active life, do what you want to do, define yourself, don't be defined by the disease. He'd just be floored by this.
You could say this was George's final stealth lesson. Be kind, be generous, love your family, be open-minded, and look what happens. You can change someone's life. And George is doing that thanks to his family, his friends, and a whole bunch of Hall of Famers.
And if you want to learn more about TF4, The Cure, text the word golf to the WTMJ Talk and Text line at 855-616-1620. I'm Libby Collins. Well, we've got a busy show for Dad today. We've got a little bit of Father's Day trivia for you. We're going to tell you where Dad can go for free today. Also, Matt Miller's here, and he's going to share which movies he'd suggest for Father's Day. Also, our consumer expert, Michelle Ronan, tells you why you should wait a second before responding to a text saying you have an out-of-state toll due. Also, Rich Kirchen from the Milwaukee Business Journal is here. He says Ascension has restored access for health records, but some info might have been compromised. We're also going to look back at the week in review. We're going to hear about the Children's Hospital Association. Isaac's here pushing buttons. Jessica Gatso is in the newsroom. And in just 2 minutes, it's Wyatt Barmore Pooley and sports at 8:14 and 67 degrees at WTMJ.
Brewers third baseman Joey Ortiz stepped back into the box after fouling off the first pitch of his at-bat in the fourth inning on a bunt attempt a day after small ball killed the crew rally in the ninth against the Reds Friday night. Maybe it was time for a change in strategy.
1-1 pitch. Fly ball deep left. And his way back. And it is gone. A three-run blast from Joey Ortiz and the Brewers finally break through.
Forget old-style National League baseball. It's 2024, baby. The Brewers blast their way to victory Saturday. That home run, all they'd need. Manager Pat Murphy on what that big swing for Ortiz meant to a scuffling offense.
You think about that big moment for him as a young player. Gives everybody a lift.
Ortiz having a heck of a season after coming over from Baltimore in the Corbin Burns trade. He's leading all National League third baseman in OPS and wins above replacement. Murphy deploying the opener once again as well. Bryce Wilson threw 5 1/3 scoreless after taking over in the second inning. Struck out 6, allowed only 3 hits. The crew can clinch a series win on Father's Day at American Family Field. Dominic Catronio has Brewers warm up starting at noon, and you can catch all the action right here on WTMJ. And we don't have an NBA champion yet, but we could have one on Monday. Game 5 of the NBA Finals in Boston. The Celtics get another crack at their first title since 2008. They could clinch on their home floor. Tip-off at 7:30. I'm Wyatt Barmore-Pooley, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Wyatt. It's great to have you back here on a Sunday morning. It's 8:18, 67 degrees at WTMJ. We'll have your forecast, and also Rich Kirchen from the Milwaukee Business Journal is going to join us right after this on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
Purple rain, purple rain.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get some scattered showers this morning. It's going to be partly cloudy, warm, humid, and breezy to the rest of the day with a high of 87. Then tonight, cloudy and warm with 72 for a low. Tomorrow's a hot one, humid, but it will be sunny. We do have a chance of some pop-up showers later on in the afternoon, and we're going to get all the way up to 92 degrees. Tuesday, another hot one, 90 for a high, under hot and humid and sunny conditions. Again, that chance for a pop-up storm. Wednesday, we've got another chance for showers and storms, another warm and humid day with a high of 89 degrees. And Thursday, guess what? More chances of showers and storms. Partly cloudy and warm with a high of 82. We are getting some of those pop-ups right now in Sheboygan. You've got some rain going on, and it's 63 degrees there. Looks like Richfield has some as well at 67. And let's see, in Elkhart Lake, it's 65 with some rain going on. Milwaukee, right now, 67 degrees. You might have a chance of some of those showers a little bit later on this morning. It's 8:21 on WTMJ. And it's time to check in with Rich Kirchen from the Milwaukee Business Journal. And Rich, big news this week about Greg Wesley from the Medical College, and he is now the new CEO of the Greater Milwaukee Foundation.
Yeah, the Greater Milwaukee Foundation is a place where a lot of rich people in Milwaukee sort of pool their resources. They run their philanthropy through there. Herb Kohl, for example, had a huge, probably still does, have a huge fund that's sort of under the umbrella of Greater Milwaukee Foundation. And then they decide where money's going to go for big projects. Most recently, the foundation has gotten very involved with boosting education and small business in the Central City. Greg, he's an attorney by training, and he's been on their board already at the foundation and replaces Ellen Gilligan, who is retiring.
Well, one of the stories we've been talking about over the last several weeks is Ascension. And I know a lot of people are wondering, do they have access now to all of their medical records?
Yeah, so the good news this week, if you're an Ascension patient or someone who works there, was that they did restore access to the electronic health records. Not everything is back up and running. And then the other news that came in later in the week was that they said, you know, none of your electronic health records were exposed to the cyber attackers, but there's something else called protected health information. And they said that there were, quote unquote, a small number of their servers or systems out of their 25,000 across the country where there's a concern that the hackers might have stolen some data, but none of that's been confirmed. And they don't know if it's, they got down to the, you know, sort of private information, truly private information about patients.
No, I know we need to keep an eye on that. A lot of people being concerned about it. We're just, what, a month away now? Less than a month. The RNC is going to be here, and they finally have disclosed some of the contractors and suppliers who are going to be there.
Yeah, so, right, we're doing this on Sunday. A month from Monday is when the convention starts, July 15th. Yeah, there's a company called Freeman, which is sort of a national company that does big events all over the place. But we've been asking them, who are the local subcontractors who are on the ground here doing some or a lot of the work? And they did release a few names. J.P. Cullen, which is a big-time general contractor out of Janesville. Staff Electric, big electrical contractor in Menominee Falls. Klein Dickert, which is window glass people in Pewaukee. And then Bliffert Lumber, which is headquartered in Milwaukee and has locations around the area.
It's kind of exciting for a lot of businesses here locally.
Well, that's one of the big selling points of bringing the convention to town, is that these contractors and suppliers, it's a major construction project inside Fiserv Forum. They're converting it from a basketball and concert arena into a convention hall. J.P. Cullen, for example, then will also get work on the back end, sort of putting it back to the way it was when everything started.
Lots of jobs for people locally. We got to get these people into town first. And I see that they're adding flights, a lot of the airlines, just in time for the RNC.
Yeah, guess what? There's going to be a lot of people from Washington, D.C. in particular who need a flight. So United especially is adding flights, you know, before, during, and after the convention, from Mitchell International to Dulles in Virginia, Ronald Reagan in Arlington, Virginia. Also heading west back and forth to Denver. They're also upgrading some of their smaller jets that run through Newark and Chicago to larger size aircraft. American Airlines.
Got to make those convention delegates comfortable.
You do.
Planes. Yeah.
American Airlines also adding some round trips from New York, from LaGuardia.
Any idea if any of those flights will stay around after the convention?
I would say it's unlikely. Sorry.
Although Wisconsin tourism industry revenue is up.
It is. It is. Probably a lot of those people are driving in. But yeah, that was the news from the Wisconsin Department of Tourism, that their estimate for the economic impact of tourism in the state was increased 5.4% to $25 billion. That's a lot of people hiking and camping and going down water slides. Yeah, they said more people visited, about 2 million more visitors last year versus 2022, and also an increase in overnight guests, which of course increases the economic impact.
Well, I imagine that Top Chef in Wisconsin is bringing in a lot of people as well.
I'm sure. Well, that was the idea. And apparently the initial impact, I guess, is the specialty cheesemakers are doing more business because of all the dairy business that we have in our state and that they saw on Top Chef.
And how excited are we that Dan Jacobs is in the finals Wednesday night?
Yeah, that's, again, great. Great for Milwaukee. Great for him.
All right, let's take a look at Optical. Shopko went out of business a number of years ago, but Shopko Optical is still around.
Yes, that was one business that they were able to sell off to a private equity company 5 years ago. And in the meantime, they've been going into new markets, acquiring other optical businesses, opening some of their own new freestanding stores. And then the news this past week was that a company in Germany that also specializes in glasses retail. I tried to get the German translation for that, and it didn't really translate well. So it's called Fielmann Group. They say that they're going to integrate, they already have some stores in the U.S., and they're going to integrate Shopko Optical into that. And Shopko Optical has a number of locations around southeast Wisconsin, so it does impact a lot of customers.
Finally, Rich, we lost a civic leader this past week, and I know a lot of people have wonderful memories of the work he did.
Yes, Jose Olivieri, who we were fortunate enough to get to know at the Business Journal through some of our programs and our Diversity Awards, Central City Business Awards. He was an attorney at Michael Best Law Firm, one of the biggest firms in town, and certainly was a well-regarded attorney. At the same time, he was very involved in education, civic life, in particular for the Hispanic community. He was a native of Puerto Rico, and he did die at age 66 of cancer. He'd been sick for a couple of years and just was very well loved and very well respected. And many, many tributes were coming through as the news spread of his passing.
Rich Kirchen from the Milwaukee Business Journal. It's always great to have you here.
Great to be here.
It's 828, 67 degrees at WTMJ. Expect some scattered showers throughout the morning, but those temperatures are going to get really warm this afternoon. We're going to be back up in the 90s on this Father's Day. And welcome back to Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. Well, it was a tragic loss for Milwaukee's education community. There were cash and cuts approved for MPS. And a horrible city gets a national spotlight, and so much more. It's a Week in Review brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back, 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 back.
Marquette University announcing today that President Michael Lovell has died after a three-year-long battle with cancer.
Just devastating.
It was no secret President Mike Lovell had cancer, but learning of his death was still a gut punch.
Faith enabled him to, I think, have the credibility, the authentic leadership that Marquette has benefited from so much.
One day you feel healthy and strong, and next thing you know, you're facing your own mortality.
It is truly a miracle that no one is dead.
Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes says the shooting happened around 12:45 Sunday morning at the Lux, a high-rise apartment building on Johnson Street.
The Delaware jury convicts Hunter Biden of lying on a form to obtain a firearm. The maximum time in prison is 25 years.
Cudahy parents charged with felony child neglect after four of their seven children tested positive for cocaine.
High fly ball deep center field. Marshall's back. Track. Bye. Bye. Baseball.
You say Kikuchi. I say Kikachi.
1,000 years of death.
From the WTMJ Breaking News Center, Jessica Tai with breaking news related to a Wisconsin sailor who we're learning has died in Florida.
Chief Petty Officer Pete Lagosh died during a training exercise in Jacksonville, Florida. He was just 41 years old.
A Qdoba on Brady Street forced to temporarily close its doors after a customer said they found a razor blade in their burrito.
To shut down this business for 10 days really provides irreparable damage to our reputation.
Look what I found in my burrito.
Burrito?
You guys want to get Qdoba or Chipotle? Oh, I'm going to get Chipotle because the last time I was at a Qdoba, let me tell you what I found.
I love blood.
Oh, please don't say things like that.
It is decision day for the U.S. Supreme Court, the first ruling issued about access to a widely used abortion drug.
The court unanimously agreed to preserve access to the drug mifepristone.
Justice Clarence Thomas, joined by his conservative colleague, says the ATF overstepped when it determined that bump stocks were legally the same as machine guns.
A well-known Milwaukee activist, Roz Rogers, shot and killed in a McDonald's parking lot Thursday morning on Milwaukee's north side.
She gave a kid the shoes off our feet, the shirt off our back.
Roz was everything, man. You know, she was great with the children. She was great with the youth. She just had a heart for the people.
Chief Financial Officer of the Milwaukee Public Schools, Martha Kreitzman, has retired from the district effective immediately.
That's 7-1. The motion passes.
The Milwaukee Board of School Directors approved a $1.5 billion proposed budget last night.
We need to hold off on this budget.
This has to happen as the board works to fix the problem.
In a unanimous vote, the board also approved their corrective action plan after recommendations from the Department of Public Instruction.
Behind closed doors, Trump reportedly attacking the city of Milwaukee. Punchbowl News reporting Trump told lawmakers, Milwaukee, where we are having our convention, is a horrible city.
U.S. Congressman Brian Stile tells Wisconsin's Afternoon News that's not what he heard.
Quick tweets drive a narrative rather than broad policy conversations that are actually really essential to get our city and our state moving in the right direction.
Donald Trump wants to talk about things that he thinks are horrible. All of us lived through his presidency, so right back at you, buddy.
I'm not your buddy, friend. He's not your friend, guy.
Teenagers on summer break who are disobeying their parents are already doing a better job getting their story straight than these lickspittle apologists for a wannabe authoritarian.
Happening this weekend, Polish Fest. That gets us in the mood.
Without a doubt.
Lickspittle.
Get your dancing shoes on.
One of the other special things that you have at Polish Fest is Mass on Sunday.
Our celebrant this year is from Poland, and his name is Father Kielbasa.
All I can think about is Kielbasa sausage.
What a week.
Talk about the finances.
Kakachi. Father Kielbasa.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
And that's the Week in Review, brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Have you ever gotten one of those texts that say, you owe for a toll in another state? Well, it's happening to a lot of people. And before you pay, you'll want to hear from our consumer expert. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News, 840 and 20. No, it's 71 degrees at WTMJ. Well, as we're driving around this summer, we're probably passing through some of those toll booths. And maybe when you get home, you find out that you have an overdue toll charge, but not so fast. Joining us on our Tri-County Contracting Hotline is Michelle Ronan from DATCAP. And what do you have to say about those overdue toll charges, Michelle?
Well, I can tell you that we have been alerted from other states that scammers are targeting Wisconsin drivers with text messages pretending to be from a tolling agency collecting these fake overdue toll charges. And we have engaged with consumers. I personally talked to one this last month who had received this specific text message. So we want consumers to just delete it. Do not respond to this because it is a scam.
So what do you do?
Well, so what's happening is scammers are sending a link saying you need to pay right away to avoid late fees. But clicking this link could lead you to a phishing attack or scammers stealing your private data. So don't click the link is one thing that you want to do. The next is just slow down. Don't rush in thinking about this. Check with the tolling agency for the state that you may have driven through when you might think that you could legitimately have some toll fees that are due. And then go ahead and report the unwanted text messages. Use your phone's report option to report those unwanted texts to your messaging app. And then do not engage again. Delete that message. And you can also report it to Consumer Protection so we can follow up and see if we're able to track this back and take enforcement action.
And what's that Consumer Protection hotline, Michelle?
1-800-422-7128.
It's 844, 71 degrees. Coming up in just a minute, Wyatt Barmer, Pooley and Sports on WTMJ.
It was shaping up to be another tough go of it for the Brewers offense Saturday against a lefty with southpaw Andrew Abbott on the mound for the Reds. Joey Ortiz breaking the pattern Saturday afternoon with one swing of the bat.
1-1 pitch. Fly ball deep left. And his way back. And it is gone. A three-run blast from Joey Ortiz and the Brewers finally break through.
That big fly coming after a bunt attempt on the first pitch for Ortiz. Bunts have not been kind to the Brewers in this series, but unlike Blake Perkins' bunt pop-out to end Friday night's loss, Ortiz got another chance and he made the most of it. He currently leads all NL third basemen in OPS and wins above replacement. Let's get him in the All-Star game. And we can chalk up another successful strategy for Pat Murphy deploying the opener once again. Bryce Wilson relieving Jared Koenig after he faced the first three batters of the game. Wilson throwing 5 1/3 scoreless, getting the Brewers to the bottom of the sixth with that 3-0 lead. It was a 3-1 final for the crew. Milwaukee can clinch a series win Sunday with Father's Day baseball at American Family Field. We got Brewers warm-up with Dom Catronio starting at noon, and then you can catch all the action right here on WTMJ. And the Dallas Mavericks staving off the finals loss, so we don't have an NBA champion just yet. We could have one crowned on Monday, Game 5 of the NBA Finals. The Celtics will have a chance for their first title since 2008. They can clinch on their home floor at TD Garden. Celtics-Mavs tip off at 7:30. I'm Wyatt Barmore-Pooley, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Wyatt. Let's see, we've got scattered showers and storms. They're going on throughout the area right now. It's going to be partly cloudy today with warm and humid and breezy conditions, a high of 87. Then tonight, partly cloudy and warm, down to 72. Tomorrow, another hot one, up to 92 degrees. Again, those chances of pop-up storms. Same thing on Tuesday, as we get 90 for a high, hot and humid. Pop-up storms are likely. Currently in Port Washington, it's 64 degrees. They've got some light rain going on there. Richfield, you're at 67. You've got rain right now. Let's see. Franklin, it's 69. And at WTMJ, we have 71 degrees at 8:47. And coming up next, we have Matt Miller. And he's got some movies for Dad. And also some thoughts about Top Chef. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. Well, it seems if you've watched any television interviews in the last week or two, all you've seen are the stars of Inside Out 2. Why is it such a big film? Well, joining us on our Tri-County Contracting Hotline is Matt Miller. He, of course, is a film critic and pop culture editor at onmilwaukee.com. And okay, Matt, why is Inside Out 2 such a big deal?
First of all, we've been looking for big movies this summer, and this is a big one, you know? People forget how much money the original Inside Out made. It was a beloved movie. Pixar, at kind of the height of its powers, arguably the most Pixar movie ever, because they took their What If Blank Had Emotions and made it Emotions. What If Emotions Had Emotions? And it's a really lovely movie. That movie turns me into a puddle every single time. And so I think people are looking forward to this movie. I think people are excited about this one. And I also think, you know, people are underestimating how well it's going to do this weekend, because again, that original Inside Out was a movie that younger kids liked and older people liked as well, that kind of Pixar magic sweet spot. And they're doing something smart where, similar to how Toy Story 3 perfectly timed up itself with the audience that grew up with Toy Story, this movie is coming out now and growing up at the same time as those kids who watched the original Inside Out, and now they're kind of going through the emotions and feelings that the main character is. So it's kind of very savvy on their part to kind of be timing this up. I think it's going to be a big hit.
All right, now, there's another animated movie that I know you saw at the Milwaukee Film Fest, and you really liked it a lot.
Yeah, it's my second favorite movie of the year. It turned me into a massive puddle. I loved it. It's called Robot Dreams. It is showing at the Downer on the East Side, and I believe it's also showing at the Marcus Majestic in Brookfield as well. But it's just a lovely movie. It's this kind of hand-drawn, kind of cel-shaded-looking animated movie about a dog who makes a robot to be his friend, and the two become really good friends. And it's just a beautiful story about friendship, about relationships, about growing up, about saying goodbye, about saying hello. It is just a wonderful, funny, joyful, bittersweet, just a perfect little movie. I really hope people seek that out this weekend. I know, obviously, you've got the big Inside Out 2 coming out this weekend, and you also still have Garfield the movie and If out there as well. But I hope people make the time for Robot Dreams. It's really quite a little charming find.
And the other one that's still out there, and I'm surprised it did as well as it did last weekend, that's Bad Boys, what number?
Bad Boys Ride or Die, which that is very one. Frustrating that the last movie was called Bad Boys for Life, which would have been the perfect title for their fourth movie, but they already used it up on the third movie, so now it's Bad Boys Ride or Die. Yeah, I had a lot of fun with Bad Boys Ride or Die. It's by no means Shakespeare or anything like that, but it's a really fun, kind of silly summer action movie. It's kind of the new Fast and the Furious franchise in a way, whereas those Fast and the Furious movies have gotten so soapy and so dumb and so bloated. And now that that series is on the decline, you have Bad Boys being like, what if we're the kind of ridiculous, kind of funny action comedy that becomes a big hit? And yeah, it did really well last weekend, performed better than expected for a lot of people.
The question is, does it save Will Smith's career?
I think absolutely. I think it proves also that Will Smith's career didn't really need saving, you know? He comes back and he has another really big opening with a really big franchise. Obviously, it would be different if he was doing kind of an original movie, and if that flopped, you know, maybe he wouldn't be back. But I think it was very smart of him to come back to a franchise people love, to a character people love, to a collaboration with Martin Lawrence that people love. And I also think, you know, the slap was 2 years ago. People moved on a week afterwards. Hollywood can sometimes live inside a bubble where they think what happens in Hollywood is the most important and the biggest news that's ever happened. And after a few days, everyone kind of moved on from the slap. It was a weird thing that happened for sure, but I don't think anyone was going to be like, well, I'm going to protest. Well, obviously we have the numbers that prove that people were not going to avoid a movie they wanted to see just because of Will Smith.
Okay, well, the big question, because today's Father's Day, which of these movies would you take your dad to?
I would take my dad to see Bad Boys Ride or Die. It depends on your father. Bad Boys Ride or Die is kind of perfect in a way where it's like old school kind of action movie. Stuff blowing up. It's got cool shots and, you know, fun gunfights and all that good stuff. So if your dad likes a classic action movie, I think that one's definitely one to check out. If he likes a little bit crazier of an action movie, you could probably find Furiosa out there as well. Fall Guy is a lot of fun as well. I think Fall Guy would be a good Father's Day movie as well if you're looking for something to see in theaters this weekend. And, you know, Inside Out 2 is out there still too, or Robot Dreams. For as much talk of how the summer has been terrible at the box office, there's a lot of really good movies out there that are definitely worth people's while to see.
Well, I heard your dad, the inimitable Gene Miller, made a special appearance at the big watch party the other night for Top Chef. And there had to be a lot of happy people because our own Dan Jacobs is going to the finale.
Yeah, not hard to believe. He's a great chef. But, I mean, there's a lot of really good competition on that show. And it's awesome how well he's been doing. It was a little tense there. No one did really well this week. It was kind of a brutal episode. Everyone's dishes were just getting panned, but thankfully any issues he had with his first fish dish, he totally recovered from on his second one. A blackened, I believe it was a snapper, I want to say.
Red snapper.
Blackened snapper that they said was their favorite dish of the night. I honestly am surprised he didn't win that elimination challenge since he had their favorite dish of the night. I frankly kind of don't understand how Danny ended up getting the win, but hey, he's in the finale. That's all that matters. And he won a quick fire. He got over kind of quick fire blues. So a very good episode for Dan Jacobs.
Well, don't you notice that the editors seem to really be spotlighting his personality versus the other chefs?
So I have a theory that this is not going to be the last we see of Dan Jacobs on Top Chef, because they have Top Chef All-Star seasons. And I have a feeling that if they're doing an upcoming Top Chef All-Star season, he's definitely shined as a personality this season. He has definitely come through as somebody who has a personality. You even see it like they have, you know, the chefs ask one another in the kitchen, you know, hey, what are you working on over there? To kind of make it seem natural with people talking about their dishes. And they tend to give that a lot to Dan. And I think it's because he has such a personality. He's able to ask people those questions in ways that are kind of funny and kind of off kilter. He's definitely, I think, of a season that's lacked some personality, I think he's been kind of the most flavorful person of the season. So I wouldn't be surprised if maybe if they ask and he says yes, if he were to come back for a Top Chef All-Star season, Well, if he wins the season, I don't think he would have to. So.
Well, the interesting thing is a lot of the contestants, win or lose, if they've had good personalities, you will see them on other shows. I mean, they'll make appearances, you know, when they have a cooking segment on some of the morning shows, or if they are looking for new stars on the Food Network and some of those other food shows. A lot of those people end up with their own programs.
You'll see them on like a Best Thing I Ever Ate, too, or something like that, or some of those other, you know, kind of shows where they're talking to chefs about their favorite foods and favorite dishes. Yeah, I think Dan has really represented himself and therefore Milwaukee and Wisconsin really well this season. And there's a chance that he could even claim the title next week. And that would be a massive honor and massive brag for Milwaukee. Absolutely. If you were able to win. But even already, it's already something that's a massive
brag. And if you want to watch that finale of Top Chef Milwaukee with a big group of fans, where do we go, Matt?
Head on by to Zocalo Food Truck Park in Walker's Point. We are there every Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. There are discounted drinks. There's tons of delicious food, as one would hope when watching Top Chef. And we cheer when Dan Jacobs does well. And we boo whenever someone not named Dan Jacobs does well. But no, we like every. I think this is a really good final three for the finale. So I think no matter who wins, we're going to have a really great time on Wednesday night.
Oh, Matt, thank you. Well, we always have a great time with you when you join us on Sunday mornings.
No, thanks for having me. And happy Father's Day.
It's coming up to 9 o'clock, and speaking of fathers, well, when we're back after the news, we've got some place where Dad can get in free today. We'll tell you about it. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
And welcome back to Hour 2. It is Father's Day. And Jessica, you know, Father's Day has never been as important as Mother's Day. I hate to say that, but, you know, they don't sell as many cards. Obviously, not many people give Dad flowers or candy, and they don't necessarily take him out to brunch. It's more of a cookout kind
of
day.
This is true. Yeah, yeah, it is June. People are looking to be outside more, I suppose.
True, and
but
Dad loves the grill.
Oh, of course.
You know that. And what are you doing with your dad today?
Well, my dad definitely loves the grill. That's for sure.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure what he's got up his sleeve for dinner, but there could be steak. Could be brats. Who knows?
Ooh, steak. That sounds good. Brats, not so bad either. All right. Well, you know, there are some things that maybe you know or maybe you don't know about fathers and Father's Day. Did you know that the father of our country, George Washington, was never a biological father?
I did not know that. No.
Well, not many people did. Also, hear this song? You know who that is?
You think you have the time to spend an evening with me?
Tell me.
Oh, Blue Eyes. That's Frank Sinatra.
Okay.
And his daughter, Nancy, back in 1967, long, long, long before you were born, that song, Something Stupid, was recorded. And it was the only father-daughter collaboration that ever hit the top spot, number one on Billboard. Plus, I'm sure you've seen the show, The Brady Bunch, right?
Here and there.
Yeah, okay. And you've seen the guy who plays the father.
Okay, yeah.
And he's sort of, you know, I mean, he's part of the show. But do you know that if the creator of that show, Sherwood Schwartz, had his way, the father on The Brady Bunch would have been played by Gene Hackman?
Oh, wow.
That was his show. I mean, that would have been a whole different show with Florence Henderson. And also, finally, now this one I find really, really interesting. In the underwater world, the seahorse, you know, with little seahorses.
Oh, I know
like
this
that.
One.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know that it's the male that carries the eggs and gives birth to the babies?
Yep.
Yeah. So, Dad, it could be worse. All right. Speaking of Dad, here's an idea for Father's Day. It's Father's Day. Well, what are you going to do that's special for Dad? How about taking him to the zoo? Joining us on our Tri-County Contracting Hotline is Kimberly Graves. And, of course, she is with the zoo. And tell us what's going on for Dad's today.
Yeah, we would love dads, grandfathers to come out. We're offering free admission for fathers from 9:30 to 5 are hours for the day. So just welcome to come on out. No ID needed, or however that is. We'll just take you at your word. We'd love to have all the dads come out for the day.
Do you have any special animal dads that we can come and see?
Yeah, we do. We have Ringo. He's our harbor seal. He's in our North American habitat. We also have Hugo. He's our DeBraz's monkey dad, as well as Hassani. He is our new greater kudu dad. You can see him and his calves romping around outside.
You mentioned grandfathers. And of course, seniors are really special at the zoo as well. And here in June, you're doing a very special promotion for seniors.
We are. We're offering our senior safari in the remaining two Tuesdays in June, so June 18th and 25th. So any senior who is age 60 or above is welcome to come and attend the zoo for free admission and activities from 9:30 to 1.
What are some of the activities you've got going on?
We will have, you know, a number of activities that are somewhat exercise related, but nothing too strenuous. So chair yoga, pickleball, offering a fun walk. We'll also have live music, but of course the animals. We'll have some animal talks, getting up close and personal with our animal chats and our animal ambassadors. So also have the train open, and just a great way to relive those memories here at the zoo.
Now, you mentioned the animal talks. When you have the lecture about a particular animal, say a gorilla or bonobo, do you have the animals right there so people can see them?
It depends on the animal. I don't have right offhand, not sure who's going to be available on the 18th or the 25th. But depending, you know, who it is, you may be able to pet. Probably not a gorilla, something smaller. But yeah, we'd encourage you to come out on either or both days because we'll have different presentations.
Sounds like a plan. Well, happy Father's Day to all of the animal dads at the zoo today. And we'll be seeing you soon, Kimberly.
Thank you.
I wouldn't mind petting a gorilla, at least seeing one up close. You know, that's always been a dream of mine, because my bucket list vacation is going to Africa. It really is. I know Rose Grace got that trip coming up, so who knows? We'll see if that's going to happen. But the real place in Africa I would love to go is to see the lowland gorillas. I know somebody who's done this. And literally, I mean, they get within about 5 or 10 feet of these huge silverbacks, just kind of, you know, doing their thing. And you're only they only take a few people up there. It's really hard to just get there. It takes hours, anywhere from 2 to 4 hours, to hike up the mountain to get to see the gorillas. And then once you're there, you can only stay for an hour, and you can't get too close. But you do get close enough that you feel like you could hug a gorilla. All right, it's 9:14. Coming up in just a couple minutes, Wyatt Barmore, Pooley, and sports right here on WTMJ.
Brewers third baseman Joey Ortiz stepped back into the box after fouling off the first pitch of his at-bat in the fourth inning on a bunt attempt a day after small ball killed the crew rally in the ninth against the Reds Friday night. Maybe it was time for a change in strategy.
1-1 pitch. Fly ball deep left. And is way back. And it is gone. A three-run blast from Joey Ortiz, and the Brewers finally break through.
Forget old-style National League baseball. It's 2024, baby. The Brewers blast their way to victory Saturday. That home run, all they'd need. Manager Pat Murphy on what that big swing for Ortiz meant to a scuffling offense.
You think about that big moment for him as a young player. Gives everybody a lift.
Ortiz having a heck of a season after coming over from Baltimore in the Corbin Burns trade. He's leading all National League third baseman in OPS and wins above replacement. Murphy deploying the opener once again as well. Bryce Wilson threw 5 1/3 scoreless after taking over in the second inning. Struck out 6, allowed only 3 hits. The crew can clinch a series win on Father's Day at American Family Field. Dominic Catronio has Brewers warm up starting at noon, and you can catch all the action right here on WTMJ. And we don't have an NBA champion yet, but we could have one on Monday. Game 5 of the NBA Finals in Boston. The Celtics get another crack at their first title since 2008. They could clinch on their home floor. Tip-off at 7:30. I'm Wyatt Barmore-Pooley, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Wyatt. It's 9:17. We're up to 71 degrees. I've got your forecast right after this. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. Well, for your father, Father's Day, we've got scattered showers this morning. It's going to be partly cloudy, warm, humid, and breezy. We'll get up to about 87 degrees. And tonight, partly cloudy and warm, down to 72. Tomorrow looks hot and humid, mostly sunny. Do have another chance for those pop-up storms, and we're going to get up to 92 degrees. On Tuesday, yeah, cooling down, 90 for a high. Again, hot and humid, sunny, with those pop-up storms, a very big possibility. And then by Wednesday, we've got, yeah, more of the same. Chances of showers and storms, partly cloudy, 89 for a high. Thursday, we actually cool down, 82 for your high temperature, but again, a chance of those showers and storms. We've got them going on this morning right now in Port Washington. Looks like you've got some rain at 65 degrees. Franklin, you have 70 degrees. Looks like you've got some storms going on there right now. In Tosa, it's 69. You've got rain and 69 degrees, and we're just seeing a little bit of drizzle right now in Milwaukee. It's 921 on WTMJ.
The following is a paid presentation. Advice and opinions expressed during the Sunday Sip are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.
I'm John Mercure, excited to be joined on the Sunday Sip by Bobby Kubish, the Director of Educational Programming at the Food and Farm Exploration Center, one of the great places in our state. Bobby, thank you so much for being with us.
I'm really happy to be here.
So the Food and Farm Exploration Center was created kind of for several different reasons. Tell us about the mission of the Food and Farm Exploration Center.
Yeah, absolutely. So the mission of the Food and Farm Exploration Center is really to reconnect people with their food, where it's grown, how it's grown, all the processes that are in between. Many people walk into the grocery store and don't really think about how the food got there and what had to happen for it to be in the store, in bags, process into different types of food that they can just put into the oven and heat up. So our mission is really to educate people about that, but also to educate about all the innovation and technology that is happening in the world of agriculture. It's really exciting, and it's making the field a very sustainable field because agriculturalists and farmers and growers, we all want to protect the earth and make it a place that we can all enjoy. And so the innovation is very exciting that's happening out there in the world today.
Yeah, you're right about that, Bobby. One of the things I love about your place is that it's immersive. Tell us about the education program at the FFEC.
Absolutely. That is one thing that was really well thought out in terms of planning for the Food and Farm Exploration Center. So currently, we have 5 education staff, myself, the director. We have 4 certified teachers that work as well, and 2 of them are primarily within the center itself, and one of them is an elementary specialist, the other one is a high school specialist, and they work with school groups and field trips, youth groups that come in the door and provide educational programming for them. We also have outreach staff that will go into the schools as well, also an elementary and high school specialist. And we're hoping to expand our staff to a kitchen lab facilitator and possibly an adult education specialist as well. So beyond that, what we try to do is teach about production agriculture and agriculture in general. And we use our 60-plus hands-on interactive exhibits to kind of ground our program and talk about the processes from the farm to the table. And not only that, the career fields that are along the way. There's many of them, and they're very exciting. And there's just a lot to learn and a lot to talk about. So our exhibits definitely help to ground us in terms of, you know, what we're going to talk about, what we're going to educate about. And I will say that our lessons are standards-based. So we do think about the K through 12 schools, and we help teachers out along the way if they're looking to have us teach about particular lessons in agriculture.
So who's the target audience for the FFEC, Bobby?
We have several, to be honest with you. So certainly the general public.
Mm-hmm.
And the general public, we want to invite everybody in to learn about production agriculture and agriculture in general. We support all types of farming and agriculture out there. So come on in, learn about not only, you know, how the food is grown, but the processes in between and how it gets to your table. So with the general public, we have a variety of different programs that we're offering. Some of those are cooking classes within our kitchen lab space, but we also are offering opportunities such as an event called Ag After Hours. Every month we invite a speaker in and we will talk about agriculture and topics in agriculture. For example, we just had one that was talking about consumer influences on production agriculture. And that gentleman, Paul Mitchell, was from an extension agent from UW-Madison. So then the adults can also go in and down into the exhibits and also outside to our demonstration plots. We have 4 1-acre demonstration plots, and they can take their time and learn about it without maybe a school field trip here or youth. So adults are definitely one of our audiences. We also want school groups and youth groups to come into the door because there's a lot to learn and do here, and I can talk more about field trips later. We have our kitchen lab, so we want to have adults or youth come in and take some of those cooking classes that we have. For example, we've partnered with Mid-State Technical College, and we've been offering culinary classes. We've had over 400 participants so far this year, since January. And a lot of different offerings in terms of classes, anywhere from, you know, wine tasting to Easter rehearsal dinner to, you know, cooking up vegetables. So a lot of fun different classes out there, flatbreads, egg roll classes. And then we also are offering a teens and tweens night out this summer where youth can learn about eating cherry cake. So, for example, we have focus crops that we try to highlight, cooking black forest cake, or what do you do with all that zucchini that comes in, or pickling cucumbers. So just some fun things to get the kids also getting their hands on. So we have a lot of things going on that way. And then in addition, we also want to support our growers. So, you know, trying to bring in professionals from the field to talk about the latest innovations and techniques in agriculture.
It's indoor and outdoor fun for the entire family. It's a couple hours from Milwaukee. It's easy to get there. For more information on everything Bobby discussed, including those field trips, explorefoodandfarm.org is the website. explorefoodandfarm.org. Bobby Kubish is the Director of Educational Programming at the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Thank you for being with us, Bobby.
You're welcome. It was great to be here.
It's 928, 71 degrees at WTMJ. And welcome back to the final half hour of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. Well, you know, southeastern Wisconsin is fortunate to have the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin right here in our backyard. But there are children's hospitals throughout the country offering essential care to kids. And joining us on our Tri-County Contracting Hotline is Matthew Cook. He's the CEO of Children's Hospital Association. And Matt, tell us about the Family Advocacy Day, which just wrapped up in D.C.
It's our marquee event that we hold every year in June. It's when we bring patients and families from around the country to Washington so that they can interact directly with Congress and the administration so that they can tell their own stories and make it personal to put a human face on what it's like to navigate the healthcare system for a child in this country. This year for Family Advocacy Day, we have 50 patients who are here with us, and they're representing 46 different children's hospitals, and that's covering 27 different states as well as the District of Columbia.
What is the greatest challenge that families with children in these facilities face?
One may just be access to care itself, depending upon where they're living. In this country, the Medicaid program is the largest insurer for children's health care. 40% of Medicaid enrollees are actually children. For most children's hospitals, 55, 60, sometimes upwards of 70% of their patients are covered by the Medicaid program. If Medicaid doesn't translate well state to state, and so when you have kids that need to cross a state boundary to receive care, that's a bureaucratic challenge for both the hospital and the family. And we've heard a lot of those stories this week about patients having trouble crossing state lines for when they have Medicaid.
You are talking to members of Congress. What is your message to them?
Children's health care is not the same as adult health care. We need to design and support a system that is tailored to the unique needs of kids, and that we need to resource it appropriately. Kids are the future of this country, and that if we're not investing in their health, it's the same as saying we're not going to invest in the future of this country. And so our message really is to differentiate for them how children's health care is different, and to educate them about what we need from a resource standpoint and from a policy standpoint to make this effective for kids.
In a perfect world, what would you like to see happen to the system of children's hospitals?
I would say there's a couple different things that I would point to. One is just the adequacy of the pediatric workforce. We do have workforce shortages across the board in this country. We have shortages in certain physician specialties. We have nursing shortages. We have shortages in other types of technical roles. And so we really need Congress to help put in place policies that will encourage workforce development and maintenance of that workforce. The second is the Medicaid program, you know, and I was just mentioning it. You know, Medicaid is really different state to state, and it is a below-cost reimbursement model for children's hospitals. And it does vary state by state. In some states, it's better than other states. Generally speaking, Medicaid reimburses below cost. And so when you have a majority of your patients covered by that program, it creates a financial sustainability issue for children's hospitals. And so we talk about that issue quite a bit. And then the third, I would just point to, and I don't think this will be a surprise to you, the mental health crisis that we have in this country right now as it relates to children and adolescents. And we don't have an infrastructure that is equipped to support the needs right now. And we really need to be investing in an infrastructure that's going to help us mitigate this crisis.
Matt, where can we learn more about the Children's Hospital Association?
You can go to our website, childrenshospitals.org, and there you'll have links to Family Advocacy Day. You'll get to see exactly how it unfolded this year, and you'll get to see more about our policies and our proposals for children's health care.
It's 9:40, 71 degrees. Coming up in just a couple minutes, we've got a special WTMJ Conversations today, and it's all about Summerfest. We'll tell you about it right after this. It's 9:43, 71 degrees at WTMJ. Well, I'm taking today off from WTMJ Conversations because Sandy Max is going to host our Summerfest soundcheck. You know, there's going to be over 600 bands on 12 stages over 3 weekends. You're probably wondering, I can't see them all at once. So which is one artist that Summerfest staffers say, make sure you see on stage? Summerfest Senior Director of Marketing Jared Woods has worked in the music scenes in Nashville and Minneapolis, and he has his eyes on a lot of those bands at this year's big gig, but he can narrow it down to one must-see performer.
Last year, Noah Kahan was the it guy to see. Who is the one act that you think is absolutely can't miss?
I have to say probably Ivan Cornejo. He is playing the very last day of the festival, July 6th, on the BMO Pavilion stage. He is 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He is a regional Latin Mexican artist who also headlined a spot at Sueños, which is a Latin music festival in Chicago. He sold, I think, 70,000 tickets at the Houston Rodeo this year. And next year, I'm sure he's going to be doing an arena or amphitheater tour. And the fact that you can come and see him for a free stage is incredible. And it's one of those things, I get it. Not everyone listens to Latin music, but as someone who works in this industry, whether you know the music or not, that is truthfully the best part about what we do, is you can go and find a new band every single day of the festival that you may not know that may be your new favorite artist.
And how do they book hundreds of bands for the big gig? And what are some of the new additions this year? Plus, what are some tips to help you have the very best fest? Well, Summerfest Scott Zeal and Jared Woods join Sandy Max backstage for a special WTMJ Conversations. That's this morning at 11 right here on WTMJ. It's 9:45. You're a minute away from Wyatt and Sports.
It was shaping up to be another tough go of it for the Brewers offense Saturday against a lefty with southpaw Andrew Abbott on the mound for the Reds. Joey Ortiz breaking the pattern Saturday afternoon with one swing of the bat.
1-1 pitch. Fly ball deep left. And is way back. And it is gone. A three-run blast from Joey Ortiz and the Brewers finally break through.
That big fly coming after a bunt attempt on the first pitch for Ortiz. Bunts have not been kind to the Brewers in this series, but unlike Blake Perkins' bunt pop-out to end Friday night's loss, Ortiz got another chance and he made the most of it. He currently leads all NL third basemen in OPS and wins above replacement. Let's get him in the All-Star game. And we can chalk up another successful strategy for Pat Murphy deploying the opener once again. Bryce Wilson relieving Jared Koenig after he faced the first three batters of the game. Wilson throwing 5 1/3 scoreless, getting the Brewers to the bottom of the sixth with that 3-0 lead. It was a 3-1 final for the crew. Milwaukee can clinch a series win Sunday with Father's Day baseball at American Family Field. We got Brewers warm-up with Dom Catronio starting at noon, and then you could catch all the action right here on WTMJ. And the Dallas Mavericks staving off the finals loss, so we don't have an NBA champion just yet. We could have one crowned on Monday, Game 5 of the NBA Finals. The Celtics will have a chance for their first title since 2008. They can clinch on their home floor at TD Garden. Celtics-Mavs tip off at 7:30. I'm Wyatt Barmore-Pooley, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Wyatt. It's 9:47 and 71 degrees at WTMJ. Well, those scattered showers and storms are hitting some areas right now. Cedarburg, you've got rain. Oak Creek's got it. Brookfield. But Oconomowoc's cleared up, so that's the good news. Looks like they will clear up through the day. We're going to get up to about 87 degrees. Then tonight, partly cloudy and warm, 72. Tomorrow looks hot, humid, and mostly sunny. We've got another chance of those pop-up storms and a high of 92. Right now, Cedarburg, 68. It's raining. Oak Creek, 71. It's raining. Brookfield, 71. It's raining there. But 69 in Milwaukee. And yep, even got some showers in Milwaukee at 9:51.
The following is a paid presentation. Advice and opinions expressed during the Sunday Sip are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.
I'm John Mercure. This is the Sunday Sip, and I'm excited to be joined by John Everett, Communications Director, Elkhart Lakes Road America. John, thank you so much for making some time for us.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me. And it's going to be some good weather coming up, so we're really excited about everything.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. I want to start by having you give us some background about Road America. It really is legendary. Tell us about Road America.
Well, absolutely. Road America started in 1955. Legendary is kind of synonymous with this because it's a 4-mile, 14-turn road course up near Elkhart Lake. And we've been hosting over 500 events for several years. Some of the most biggest events you could even imagine, such as IndyCar, Moto America Series, several vintage racing events, and we can't leave out the Sports Car Club of America and the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Plus, also this year, we have GridLife coming, so we encourage everybody to go to roadamerica.com and check it out. It's the longest race course in North America and also the most fun because that's why we call it America's National Park of Speed.
It is. It's a great place, and I always encourage people to make a weekend out of it, and there are options to stay on site if you want to do that, right?
Yeah, from camping options to cabins to bring your tent on the back of a motorcycle, we've got it all for you. So you can bring your RV and park it right up against the fence, watch race cars and motorcycles go by. There's nothing better than having an incredible view from your motorhome, your tent camping area, or one of our cabins on site. So again, we encourage everybody to go to roadamerica.com. Click on plan your visit, and you can learn about how to stay and play right here.
John, that is so easy. And one of the things I love, if you're going to make a weekend out of it, it's about the cars, and I love the speed, and I love that energy. But there are other things to do, geocaching and disc golf. Run through some of the other things to do if you're going to spend time up there.
Yeah, without question. We do everything from weddings to corporate events. So if you're looking for something different to do with your business, with your family, with others, even family reunions, definitely check out roadamerica.com because we have disc golf available for most events. Our off-road adventure tours are a great date excursion if you're looking for something to do. Sunset cruising as well is a great way to get your car on track and actually see the race course from a driver's perspective. Plus, there's public karting, and we can do team building programs for almost any size of organization. So if you're kind of like trying to get away from the usual golf outing or the usual ballroom lecture type situation, give Road America a try and check it out at roadamerica.com.
Do you guys still do the motorcycle and driving schools?
Yeah, without question. We graduate the largest amount of motorcycle people getting their M certification on their license every year. And motorcycle schools are run throughout the summer. So again, we encourage everybody to go to roadamerica.com because our schools are super simple. You take an online classroom course and then you come to the range and you actually get to ride brand new Yamaha motorcycles in a closed off-street environment with world-class instructors to get your motorcycle certification. Teen driving programs, advanced driving programs, winter driving programs, we have it all here. So if you're looking to give your teen more confidence behind the wheel as they head off to college or if they get ready to do their junior or senior year in high school, teen driving programs are something to consider. We also have dirt bike riding programs. So if you're looking for some off-road experience on a motorcycle, we can do that too. The sky is the limit at Road America, and we just encourage everybody to go to roadamerica.com if they're looking for something to do or build more confidence behind the handlebars or behind the wheel.
I love the sound of that. Road America's John Everett is with us. I'm looking forward to getting up there this year because I want to check out the grounds. Have always been beautiful, but you guys have made some improvements for 2024.
It's certainly called America's National Park of Speed for a reason, because once you come through the gates, it's like you're in a national park. You can move around the facility. You're not dedicated to a seat. We have lots of wonderful viewing locations that we've added, such as the Bluffs over at Turn 11. A lot of people can't believe that you can actually sit at the beach and watch world-class racing. We have a beach here at Road America, complete with palm trees, beach chairs, and even a volleyball court. We also have wonderful wood carvings throughout the facility, so you can turn it into a scavenger hunt for the kids, go to each wood carving and try to figure out where it is. Download the Road America app to learn more about all of our events and figure out how to move around the facility. Plus, we have several trails involved where people can take golf carts and bikes and move around the facility, go from campsite to campsite, plus lots of golf cart-friendly locations where people can actually pull right up on their golf cart and get a wonderful overlook of some of their favorite turns and corners. So check out roadamerica.com, get your tickets, get your golf carts, get your campsites early, because it could be a full weekend of family and friends, and very affordable as well, because kids 16 and under get in free with a paying adult.
That part is remarkable. 16 and under, you get in for free. You get access to all the stuff we've been talking about. It's incredible. John's mentioned the website. I want to give it to you again. It's roadamerica.com. I was just on the website before this interview. Incredible stuff. Check it out, roadamerica.com. You can plan out your whole trip. John Everett, Communications Director at Elkhart Lakes Road America. Always great to catch up. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you, John. Have a great day.
It's coming up to 9:57, and it looks like that rain will clear up, so don't worry. It's going to be a pretty nice Father's Day. I think you might still be able to get some grilling in today, but it's wet in a lot of those areas right now. But boy, that heat getting up into the upper 80s, it's going to dry out really pretty quick. Well, coming up after the news, we've got Brian and David Wickard, and they have a Father's Day story for you that makes everybody happy, and that is that mortgage rates might actually be going down. That's on the Accudent Mortgage and Realty Show right after the news. And also at 11 o'clock, Sandy Max is going to be back. It's a special WTMJ Conversations when she finds out everything you ever wanted to know about Summerfest on the Summerfest Soundcheck. And then at noon, it's Brewers Warm-Up, all ahead on WTMJ. Thanks for listening today. I'm Libby Collins.